Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues today. Let me say to you, each and every one of us, we need to be praying for those in South Florida and across the entire state of Florida, as well as those up in the Carolinas that have been hit by Ian, the storm. There's a lot of repairs to be done, lives put back together, and there's a need for hope. So let's pray for those today that God will give hope, peace, and strength as they start the journey of rebuilding lives. Multitudes have lost family members, not just the loss of material things, but the loss of life. So I encourage each and every believer today to join in the prayer for those that have lost everything, for those that have lost not only personal belongings, but lost the lives of those loved ones and their families. We pray for them, asking God to give wisdom, strength, and encouragement and hope. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues this broadcast today, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll be talking about a subject today, coordinated assault on our liberty. Coordinated assault on our liberty. That's what we see taking place. It's not something that's just happenstance here and there. It's not something just popping up with this agency and that agency. It's out of all of the federal agencies, big tech, federal agencies, the UN. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations now brag about the fact they've got 110,000 individuals working across the globe to listen in, to trace, to track, and to coordinate an effort to undermine our liberties by making a determination on what we say, what we do, whether it is disinformation, misinformation, or whether it is totally incorrect information. They're making that decision for us. It's the loss of liberty in a large, large fashion. And we'll talk about that and the different tentacles of that assault on liberty this broadcast today. We'd love to have your 2 cents worth, as some call it. Love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion right after the monologue. We'll be opening the lines and asking you to call in, give your input, your questions, your comments in relationship to it. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so each and every day on this broadcast, and we do so based on the authority of a central biblicist worldview. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is God's word. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, "I am truth." And further he states in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It is the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that lasts forever. In fact, in Psalms 117:2, it says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." It is the everlasting truth. And it's knowing the truth that Jesus says sets us free. There are a lot of people that says they partially quote this text in John 8:31-32. They say, "If you know the truth will set you free." They don't say that. They just say the truth will set you free. When Jesus says, "If you continue constantly be in my word," that's the word of God, "then you are my disciples indeed." That means you're truly a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus. And it's then, after you continue in the word, after there's a validation that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you know the truth, and the truth is the word of God. Everything we do, everything we say, ought to be viewed based on what does the Word of God say. I call it the truth book. Truth is not something that is sought after today. In fact, truth is disdained. Truth is disregarded. Truth is dissed, as the world calls it today. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be absolute truth, if I can use that spin. It's absolute truth today that the more we drift from the truth, the more there will be hatred, animus for those that speak the truth. We find that in the Beltway in Washington. We find that with the political scene across America. We find that today leading up to an election just about 34 days from today. And as we enter the last 30 days of this election, we're finding a total evisceration, a total dismantling, a complete ironic thought in relationship to what is truth. There's a denial of truth, as we'll see in this broadcast today. In fact, it was U.S. Senator, former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a statement that I think was a very bold statement. Former Senator Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says the truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in America. And ladies and gentlemen, we see that plummeting on a very large scale. When you find, according to the latest Barna report, that only 4% of the executive pastors have a biblical worldview, and only 37% of the preaching pastors have a biblical worldview, and about 12% of the youth pastors and the associate pastors have a biblical worldview. We understand then why we see such a dramatic drop in what is called a biblical worldview, and why we see such a dramatic drop in what is called biblical Christianity today. We need to go back to truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a powerful statement. Faithful Christians, he said, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it is incumbent upon us as Christians that we listen to the truth. And I say this very carefully, but very, very directly. I don't care whether it's radio or television. I don't care what broadcast, what network, or what channel. If it is a false, phony, heretical preacher, or if they're destroying the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, if they're trying to take Scripture out of context and make it say something that it does not say, there needs to be a turning away from that and a rejection of that very, very quickly. But we're finding today in American culture, with what I call a post-Christian era, we're finding many, according to the Scripture, that have itching ears, and they're heaping to themselves teachers that's willing to say whatever their itching ears want to hear said. So we need to be very careful and seek the truth today, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the last of the last days, and I believe it's incumbent upon us as believers that we stick to the truth, stand on the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power outdoor equipment company dealership that's specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The Tools for Time's staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful, wonderful identifier, a benchmark, if you please, to help you locate Tools for Time. There's a gigantic flag, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find the flag and the flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Based on that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly environment that you work in at Tools for Time. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the children of God, as God's Word ordained to be so for the child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview and see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number, let me remind you once again, is 904-831-0917. 831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe our nation today, as we go through these last, I've not counted exactly, but it's 30, 34, 35 days, we've got about that length of time. Listen, we've got about 1 month to decide just what kind of America we want. As Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, we make the determination on what kind of nation we want to live in. Will it be a constitutional republic that we have been so blessed with in America for 250 years? Will we renew our commitment to a constitutional republic with the election of those that go into office that will uphold our Constitution and the moral, ethical laws of the Word of God? Will we make that kind of decision, ladies and gentlemen, or will we simply, will we simply not vote and allow the replay of the 2020 election? Ladies and gentlemen, those that did not vote in the 2020 election, I'm told by serious sources that perhaps between 40 and 45 million Christians did not vote. Between 40 and 45 million Christians did not vote. So as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we have a major, major, major tragedy that's on our hands today, and it will be deepened if that happens again in about 30 days. I'm looking at a major article. It says, memo to Christians. Here's really what's at stake in the midterm elections. That's a lengthy article. I'm going to abbreviate it for our broadcast today. Dated October the 2nd. Horrified by what has been called the Sovietization of the Biden administration, that is making America become a Soviet nation. The Sovietization of the Biden administration, including the shocking criminalization of dissent and the weaponization of the FBI, whose agents daily arrest, intimidate, and persecute the regime's, talking about the Biden's regimes, the regime's political opponents. Excuse me. This article continues, says, tens of millions of Americans anxiously wonder whether November's midterm election will bring any positive change of direction for a once great nation now careening toward total destruction, end quote. Although many voices are weighing in on what's at stake in the midterm elections, ironically, no one has expressed it any more clearly or forcefully than Joe Biden himself. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is an astonishing article. Joe Biden himself basically illustrated what this nation will be like if we allow that to happen in the next 30 days. You recall back in September, and this writer calls it the dark September 1, where Biden spoke on the soul of the nation. He delivered while bathed in the ominous red lights and flanked Marine guards behind him. This article further says, every single evil that Biden ascribed to the MAGA, M-A-G-A, Republicans, the left's new name for America's vast center-right middle class, literally the nation's backbone, speaking of we the people, the nation's backbone, the conservatives, the Christians, the patriots, is actually true of today's Democratic Party and its unhinged supporters. Consider just a few highlights from the Biden Orwellian speech in which he described half of Republicans as semi-fascist. Now listen carefully. It is what is called projection. Joe Biden, in that dark September speech, as this writer calls it, states in the headline of this article, memo to Christians, Here's what's really at stake in midterm election. And he goes back to Joe Biden's speech, and Joe Biden's speech is projecting on Republicans what the Democrats are doing, what they have done, and what they presently will do in the future if they are reelected in control of the White House, in control of the Senate, and the House of Representatives. Here's what he says. MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic. These are quotes now from Joe Biden. Read that again. The Republicans, MAGA Republicans, represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of the republic. Secondly, MAGA forces promotes authoritarian leaders, and they fan the flames of political violence that are threat to our personal liberties and rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, and to the very soul of our country. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. Now, these are quotes from Joe Biden's speech back in early September. Back in early September, it says, Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. Then, again, quoting Biden, the MAGA Republicans embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies, end quote. Joe Biden further says, MAGA Republicans look at America and see carnage and darkness and despair. They spread fear and lies, lies told for profit and for power. And again, by just substituting radical Democrats for MAGA Republicans, one gains a vital, vivid, and stunningly accurate description of the ever-growing neo-communist threat to America today, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have stated it any better. It is called projectionism. Joe Biden is projecting on Republicans what is the mindset, the modus operandi, the attitude, and the action of the Democratic Party, the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party, as I call it. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
John Bud, how are you?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing great. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Biden is, well, I'll start with this statement there. You can tell a tree by its fruit. This man is a liar. He's been caught multiple times lying. His documentation of his lies are beyond belief. Really, this election is going to be a referendum against the Democratic Party. I do believe that if Republicans come out and independents come out and vote with their hearts and their conscience there, even if it's this red tidal wave, it'll be unless these Republicans do something about the bureaucracies that are in position right now today that are still there regardless of who's in office. And I'm talking about the three-letter agencies and weed out these politically motivated and agency leaders that have an agenda that does not match the Constitution, we're going to be in a bad way regardless of what comes in 2024.
Jim, I think that you hit the nail on the head, as the old cliche goes. Here's a question I'll ask you to respond to, and I've pondered it. Let's just do some assumptions. Let's say the Republicans, including the Rhino Republicans, the Rhinos, let's say that they take control of the House and totally control the Senate, not controlling the Oval Office because Sleepy Joe, Communist Socialist Marxist Joe, will still be in the Oval Office that he's there by deceit, by fraud, and illegitimately seated as president. Let's say that's true. What can the Republicans do? They can't pass a bill. Might be passed in the House and the Senate. It won't be signed by Sleepy Joe. What can the Republicans do? They've just gotten through making an elongated written document called a commitment to the people, commitment to America. It goes back to 1994 with one that was the Speaker of the House at the time made a contract with America. Newt Gingrich did that. They won the House and the Senate. It was a wonderful move. And they're trying to reinstate that, reenact that. But the problem is this time we have a communist Marxist in the White House. What can the Republicans do? What do you foresee as the possible outcome? Let's say that we do win, I say we, the Republicans win the House and the Senate.
Well, the first thing that they need to do is none of these investigations that are multi-million dollar and years long there. There's enough evidence already on the book for impeachments and censures of some of these bureaucrats and in charge. Remove them from their positions and make a statement that if you are in a bureaucratic or a bureaucracy and you are the leader of that bureaucracy and you are not following the Constitution with good faith and your motivations are strictly politicized, that you are going to be removed from office. You know, you do that and you take away that you have them forfeit their retirement there, and you make everybody that's below them know that you're here to do a job for America, not for your own personal convictions, not for your own personal motivations. And it's a heads up, because these people like Anthony Fauci have been in their positions for way too long, and they do as they please, and they exert too much influence for
you
their
know,
positions.
Jim, I'm in full agreement with what you just said. Here's my problem, and I'm saying this with tongue in cheek, but yet I believe and facing the reality of where we are. I don't believe the Republicans have a political spine, a backbone to do what you're talking about. Because they look at it on the basis that it's going to be political retribution. And they said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do what the Democrats have done to us. We're not going to have political enemies list. We're not going to go doing a battle based on political affiliation as the Democrats have done. The Democrats presently are doing that. They're making political enemies out of everyone that did not vote for Sleepy Joe Biden, for everyone that does not walk in lockstep in submission to the tyrannical governmental form that we have today. And they're doing that. But I don't believe the Republicans have the spine or the backbone. In fact, I've watched several interviews with different Republicans where asked, if you're elected, if you take control, will you go in and remove this person, that person, that person? And there's a whimsical whining, and I don't know, we're not going to fight like they fought, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't believe they've got political spine to do so. This is the reason I go back to Psalms 146, I believe it is, verse 3, put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man in whom there is no help. We find that we need to place our faith and trust, as I know you do, in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in realizing that he's the one that's ultimately in control. But I'm talking about from the civil governmental level and the responsibility we have as citizens in a nation that we have a constitutional right and a biblical right and responsibility. Linked with those rights, there is the responsibility. So do you believe that the Republicans will have the spine to do what you and I are talking about, that I believe is the right thing to do? I believe we need to go in and clean the swamp, eradicate the evil, and do the best we can with hands tied. And I believe there's a responsibility to start an immediate impeachment of Joe Biden. If he has not been removed, if he's not resigned, if they've not replaced him, and I believe the Democratic Party will do so either before the election or shortly after the election, they will remove him and have someone that's appointed in his position. So what is your take on that, just briefly?
Well, my take on the whole thing is they need to go about it with perseverance, and they need to make their message public, easily accessible, and push on that message there. You don't have to arrest these people in midnight raids. Just simply bring them before commissions that are saying, you did this on this date. Here's our documentation, sir. This is a violation against the Constitution. What do you have to say? Fire them. I'm not saying put them in jail, but at least get them out of the office and make a statement that politicization of a bureaucracy is not what the United States is founded on. It's founded on a constitutional representative republic that is based on certain laws, liberty, freedom, and pursuit of happiness. It's not based on, I'm pissed off at you. Excuse my language. Sorry about that. I'm mad at you because you don't think the way that I think there. They're not embracing anything in the first, second, or any of the Bill of Rights that were originally established
right.
by our founding fathers.
You're right. And we're living in that position today, as is found in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That is, it is a reproach, a dishonor, a disdain for any people. Jim, one of the things, and I'll say this and let you go, but I believe that if the Republicans take the House and the Senate, they need to immediately rescind, hear me, and I believe our listeners need to understand this, they need to rescind every money bill that was passed by the House under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. They have that authority and that power. It does not take a signature of the president for them to rescind. It's the House's responsibility to pass money bills. And I believe it's the House's responsibility, if the Republicans take control, the conservatives, may I say, if they take control, to rescind every money bill. I believe that the Republicans, if they want the citizens to have any faith and confidence in what they're now promising and what is called a commitment to America, if they want us to have any faith and confidence in that, they need to go in on the basis that everyone that's been locked up now for over 2 years in jails without a trial, about 450 men that supposedly violated some law by going into the Capitol building. I believe everyone needs to be immediately released. I believe there needs to be reparations paid from the coffers of the federal government to each of those to reinstate their lives and to set them free. I believe that everyone that's been found guilty of so-called violating the LGBTQ laws, the sodomite laws, everyone that's supposedly as Christians, conservatives, been accused of a crime because of the CRT, and the LGBTQ and the abomination called the abortion industry, I believe there needs to be a reparation for that, or they need to be set free. They need to be have all charges dropped and their lives put back in order. I believe that we need to start, as that is the first thing of action, if the Republicans take control of the House and the Senate. What are your thoughts?
I kind of have a not a truly optimistic view that they're going to get in and do what they've always done before. They can take victory and turn it into defeat real quick, but
yes.
If only we had this. That's over. You need to take a page out of their book. And good example of somebody that's trying to do that is DeSantis there. Grow a spine. Have yes. a little bit of backbone. Stand yeah. up.
How'd you like his statement? How'd you like Governor
DeSantis'
statement? He said, in the state of Florida, he said, we're Second Amendment state. He said, if you come in to loot, we're going to shoot.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was – and it's the truth. I mean, you're going to have a criminal element that's going to take advantage of people that have been severely disadvantaged by a natural disaster, and they're going to come in there and take what little, if anything, these people have left. That's so wrong on so many levels there that, you know, I don't have an issue. If you're a looter and you're going to do that, you know what? You almost deserve to be shot.
Exercise that Second Amendment. Right. I'm in full agreement with that. I tell people all the time, I believe in two things, God and Glock, and in that order. And I believe that as citizens, we are free to carry. God ordained the Second Amendment right. God ordained the right of self-defense. It was confirmed by the U.S. courts to be carried out by the citizens, and I believe that we have that right and responsibility. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do, and I'm praying that this election might be successful. God bless you for calling today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about coordinated assault on our liberty. A coordinated assault on our liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're watching as we witness what has happened with our churches and pastors and Christians and all of those that are of faith, that we're watching the frontal assault on Christians, religious institutions, ministries are now being told that they must hire LGBTQ sodomite employees. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.